shuts out a lot of distractions. And it can help me to focus on the one who, as we heard in St. Paul's letter to Timothy, cannot be seen with the human eye, the eternal God and ruler of all, the one essential relationship for all of us. And yet, I think we're challenged in the readings today to look and see. In the first reading, the prophet Amos is speaking about the impending invasion by the Assyrians to conquer the 10 northern tribes of Israel. It's a situation that Amos describes as the collapse of Joseph. Joseph referring to the largest of those 10 northern tribes. He's speaking to the southern tribe of Judah and the people living there in Jerusalem, also known as Zion. He describes the people there as complacent, sleeping in luxury, dining sumptuously with plenty of entertainment and spa treatment. He doesn't condemn these things as evil in and of themselves, but he is very clear about what's wrong with it. He says they engage in a lavish lifestyle, but they're not made ill by the collapse of Joseph, their brother. Spa treatments are fine, in other words, except when they get in the way of our helping our brothers and sisters. And notice what Amos means by helping. He's referring in the first place to the moral collapse of Joseph. God was sending the Assyrians because the Israelites had abandoned the temple, had abandoned the worship that God had called them to. And they chose instead to worship as they wanted to treat each other not as God commanded, but as they wanted to treat each other, trying to get the best of each other, rather than seeking to give the best to each other. God is saying through Amos that we have responsibility for the moral health of our brothers and sisters. We are our brothers and sisters' keeper. Sometimes we have to pray with our eyes open so that the needs of others can be revealed to us. In the second reading from St. Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul reminds Timothy of his baptism, which he describes as the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know, baptism is a good and noble confession of faith. We're all called to that confession of faith, not just on the day of our baptism, but every day of our lives. To what extent are we hiding our faith? At home, at school, at work? Because if the answer is yes, then not only are we not living our baptism, but we're failing those around us who need our noble confession for their own moral health, let alone our own. And just like the people in the time of Amos, we have a responsibility for their moral health. Just before the gospel today, Luke had mentioned how the Pharisees were lovers of money, but not lovers of true spiritual health. And then we hear this story today from Jesus of the rich man and Lazarus. It's interesting. Lazarus, who nobody knew in his life here on earth, is still remembered to this day, known to this day by name. No one knows the name of the rich man. Everybody probably knew him when he was living sumptuously. Nobody knows his name now. Lazarus lived at the door of the rich man, and the contrast between the two couldn't have been greater. Notice that after both had died, the rich man looks up from his place of torment. Note that hell is real. And he sees Lazarus with Abraham. Note that heaven is real. two points strike me very powerfully. First, the rich man calls Lazarus by name. He knows him. And yet when they were both on earth, he completely neglected him. One almost gets the picture of the rich man stepping over Lazarus every time he had to go in and out of his door. This burden, this bother, get this guy out of my way. But he knew him by name and did nothing for him. Secondly, he still looks down on Lazarus. You know, he's looking up from his place of torment. He's still looking down on Lazarus. Despite the fact that the rich man knew his name, he knows nothing about Lazarus. He looks up and nothing has changed. I'm in torment down here in hell. Send that errand boy, Lazarus. I think that's his name. Send him down here to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. Maybe he'll finally be good for something. And even after that, right? Send him to my brothers. Maybe they'll realize that I'm really trying to help them, and I'll get some credit for that then. Send that errand boy Lazarus. He knew his name. He didn't know anything about him. Lazarus could have been that rich man's ticket to heaven if he had lived the noble confession of faith and helped Lazarus out of his misery. But the rich man's eyes were closed in this life, and they remained closed in the next. He was not made ill at the collapse of Lazarus. He wasn't even aware of his own spiritual illness, terrible illness that led to his own collapse into Hades. I remember one time when I was working in Washington, D.C., and I was very stressed by a lot of pressures and temptations. And it was a moment of quiet during Mass, being overwhelmed with a question. Why don't you rest in me? The rich man and the people of Amos rested in luxury and the stuff of this world. Why don't you rest in me? And I began to see those temptations for what they were. Temptations to rest in the trappings of office and power, and the trappings of prestige, to rest in wanting to be approved, right? Wanting to be recognized, wanting to be patted on the back, and wanting to be compensated. I'm working hard, and part of me wants to be compensated with the right food, with the right company, with beautiful things and beautiful people. I was looking to rest in lots of things in this world. And then right there, in the middle of Mass, in the middle of D.C., in the middle of whatever stresses or pressures, suddenly the Lord speaks ever so softly and quietly. Why don't you rest in me? Resting in the Lord rather than this world is an important part of living out our noble confession of faith. Rooted in the Lord and not in this world, we can not only pray with our eyes open, but ask Him to help us to truly see when our eyes are open. And here's maybe the biggest challenge: to pray for the courage to act on what we see. Pray for the courage to confess your faith before others who need a moral witness. Strive to love others more than your own comfort. We don't have a responsibility to convert the world. That's the grace of the Holy Spirit. But we do have a responsibility to live our faith, both by helping the physically poor and by helping the spiritually poor. It's not a matter of nagging or forcing one's viewpoints on another. It's a matter of a simple witness to our own moral code. To say to someone, I think it's important to belong to the church. Or, I don't think I would want to be treated that way. Or, forgiveness is a lot healthier than holding a grudge. Or, I don't think abortion is health care, and neither is the death penalty. Or maybe it's as simple as God is merciful, and we can be merciful too. So here's the homework for this week. Look for opportunities this week to witness to your faith, whether in word or in action. And pray for the courage to let everyone see and know that you are a Christian.